And we did this in speech class. It feels like a long time ago, but they would tell you to like help you not be nervous. You're supposed to like take in the space. So we're all just going to take a moment to take in the space. So take a deep breath. Find your familiar faces. Wave if you want to. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Just whatever you need to relax and feel comfortable. Amy's done a really good job of prepping us. We met on Friday for an hour or two to work on what we were saying because we really want you guys to get the full effect of what we've been through. I mean, it obviously looks like we had fun, but we did learn a lot spiritually and we did really grow. And, you know, it's easy for anyone to be nervous. So we just want to take this time to relax and really center ourselves so that we can give you hopefully the best version of what really went down a couple weeks ago.
Well, I wanted to start by thanking you guys for giving us this Sunday to get to just tell you about our trip and all the support that you guys provide us with along the way, whether that's prayer or money or work projects or some of you that provided food and coolers and vehicles and all sorts of ways that you've just supported us. And we really are thankful for that. So I'm going to go through. I have several questions.
Whoa. I have several questions, and the teens have decided which of those questions they would like to answer. So my first question is, what idea or strategy from the Word has stuck with you since our retreat? And Leah would like to answer this question.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So
hold it up close to your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Yep.
All right.
Take it in the space.
I basically just said God's living water is what we kind of learned, and if you need water to live, then you need God to live. Mm-hmm. Forever.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, my second question is, did you learn anything new about God or yourself? Lucas, would you like to go next?
I learned about how God has a plan for us in the millennial kingdom. And how whenever he comes, we're all going to go to this place where we're going to be unified, but we're not just going to be like ghosts or something. We're going to be like actual people with jobs, and we do everything that we would do regularly. And I thought that was really cool.
Cool. Thanks, Lucas. And Grace, you also wanted to answer this question.
Yeah. I really learned a lot about him through our studies and especially through hearing how other people process the word differently than I do. So one of my favorite passages was striking the rock and then the broken cisterns, because I just love how it showcases God as this incredible author. It's just, yeah, it's amazing to me how the striking the rock is like a parallel and an homage to Jesus being struck on the cross for us. And there were just a bunch of other parallels. So just seeing him as the awesome author of the Old Testament and the New Testament, I love those types of things. And I also got to experience him in a really cool, paradoxical way. On Saturday, we got to go stand-up paddleboarding. And so for me, that was just like the ultimate experience of freedom and peace and joy. I love being out on the open water. And then a couple days later, we went whitewater rafting, and that was experiencing God as this fierce, rushing, strong, powerful force. There was a couple times rafting where I almost got sucked out of the boat because of the sheer power of the water. So it was so cool to see him as freedom and peace and joy, but also strength and majesty and might. And so I really got to enjoy those two things.
Cool. Thank you, Grace. My next question is, did you relearn an old lesson in a new way? And Elizabeth, you were going to answer that one?
Okay, so one of the lessons we were learning, I got to relearn, was the woman at the well. It's a story most of us have probably heard, if not all of us. And it's a story that I've read many times, but never really took the time to do this every time.
You're doing great.
Okay. I never took the time to really look at the woman and what it would have been like for her to have this man come up to you when he's not supposed to talk to you, mm-hmm. and you're an outcast in in this town. Mm-hmm. Sorry, bear with me.
You're doing a great job.
But we got to talking after we had read through it, and how after she had learned that he was truly God and mm-hmm. Jesus. She had the courage to go into a town that mm-hmm. outcast her, teased her, made fun of her, mm-hmm. and just have the courage to go and speak God's word and profess his name. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Really. I think that's it.
Okay. That's Thank you, Elizabeth.
Very good.
I think several of us were impressed by her willingness to go into the town and face people that would not have accepted her previously and share her faith, and we appreciate you. My next question is about, and we answer this question every day, how did you see God revealed in his creation? So they would answer this question every day and just kind of look for, we're in a new place, how is it revealing God's qualities and character to us? So Mariah, you would like to answer this question?
I saw how much God loves us by how he lets us live in such a beautiful creation. He made it diverse, special, and he made everything different. There are no identical rivers, and there's no same view from two different mountaintops. He made it creative, and he made it majestic. And even though he made so much, he knows when a single sparrow dies, and he cares so much more for us. He's powerful, constant like a river, and a creek almost knocked me off my feet. But he made the Mississippi in an instant with his voice. He made everything creatively, and it's all spectacular.
Thank you, Mariah. And Evan, you also wanted to share on this one.
So, one of my moments was when we were watching the sunset. Of course, I wasn't paying attention and obviously missed the sunset. I was looking at the river below us, and I was, like, really captured by its magnificence and, like, how you throw a little rock and it disappears in the tree below you, and then you look up and you realize you're in, like, a big cavern, and, like, there's just a big divot in the ground. You realize how small you are compared to the whole earth, and how, like, you can hear the little river down there, but you can tell that even no matter how loud you yell, no one on the river is going to hear you. So that was just really cool for me.
Cool. Thanks, Evan. And my last question in this section is, how did the Lord work in your heart? So, Eliana, are you ready to share?
On this trip, we talked about being equally yoked, and I think that, especially today, there's not as many Christians as we want to be, and I tend to find myself going with people that aren't the best influences for me or aren't going towards God, and that really just pulls me away from God instead of pull me towards him like it should. And I think talking about equally yoked is really important for me because I really just needed that reset to me, I guess.
And Audrey, you also wanted to answer this one?
So anyone that knows me knows I'm more of a head person than a heart person. So I spend most of my days just kind of bullheaded, just going through it, doing what I think's right. But after this trip, I've kind of, I thought more about what I should do as a Christian because I'm a Christian. I've had a lot more of what would Jesus do moments. And overall, I think my heart's just softened because I've noticed when I messed up and I've prayed more. And overall, I think I'm just listening to him better.
That's really cool. Thank you. I also wanted to share on this one, if you're willing to listen to me for a minute. I really felt like the Lord showed me how he could use fun times and difficult times together for my good. And he definitely, in the preparation for this trip, had to push me deeper in coming up with the lessons and learning about his word and passages that I haven't studied as much. So I really saw him providing for me, and it was really cool to see how cool his word is, that it's powerful, that it's alive, and that when you spend time in it, he reveals things to you. It's not up to us to struggle and understand this book. It's his living word, and he will teach us from it. And I also just felt his provision as a leader. I mentioned before we went on the trip that this is a younger group, and I felt like he was asking more of me than he did last year, and I saw him provide for me on a daily basis. And I would say, Grace, we probably really were able to share some things together that he was really teaching us and stretching us. And just beyond that, I was really encouraged by his Holy Spirit on the trip and just coming off of the trip and processing what we accomplished together and all that we learned and all that we had to work through on the trip. I just really saw him with me on a daily basis. And it's not always like a, wow, this is an incredible miracle type of thing. Sometimes it's just that day-by-day dependence on him. And I just really felt like he was sustaining me through the trip. So that was really cool. The second section of questions kind of relate to our group, and this is a really great group. I forgot I was going to tell you all their names because I don't know if you know all of their names, but this is Eliana and Lucas, and they've both been with us for almost a full year now. And Audrey just graduated high school, so this is her last trip with us. Leah is also in middle school, but she did come with us last summer, so she's been with the group a little longer than some of our other middle schoolers. Elizabeth is starting her junior year, Evan is starting his sophomore year, and Mariah is starting her freshman year, and she's going on her first full year with us too. And then Carter also came on the trip with us. He's another one of our middle schoolers, but he wasn't able to be here today. And Caleb Bagley was our male chaperone, and he's not here with us today either, but we really appreciated having him with us, definitely. So when we think about our group and this trip that we went on, I have a few questions, and we'll start with, how did God use this particular group of teens and leaders to work in your life? Lucas, would you like to go first on this one?
So, 5 or 6 months ago, my parents got divorced, and I was just really mad at myself and just kind of everybody around me for no reason at all, besides the fact that I needed someone to blame. And then my mom told me about this youth group that Carter was going to, and I was like, might as well give it a shot, and now look where I am. So so I just want to say that this group has really helped me through this and give me comfort whenever I was just really sad, and I just am very grateful for them. So,
thanks, Lucas. Eliana, you also wanted to answer?
I said that when we're all going through hard times and tears have been shed a lot, let's say that, it really is a very strong group. It's someone you can go to without being judged or being scared that you're going to be, like, back-talked about, like stab in the back or something. But just seeing Amy and Grace and how strong they are in the faith, it just really encourages me to go stronger in my faith. And seeing everyone else grow in their faith, it's just a power movement, really. And I just really want to be like Amy and Grace in their faith.
Thanks, Ellie. What a sweetie. All right, Grace, you want to follow that?
I don't know if I can.
I would like to talk about the leaders. I'm going to mention Caleb first. I was just so impressed with how he jumped into our group and led the boys with ease for that week. Darn, I shouldn't have looked at you. That really meant a lot to me. And he did such a good job of leading them emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Like, as Eliana said, tears were shed. We're a pretty emotional group, and that's not bad, but Caleb really manned up and stepped in there, and obviously we wanted you, Brad, but Caleb was just such a perfect leader that trip. I was very thankful for him. He did a great job at opening up to random people that he doesn't really know all that well, and he did a good job of sharing, and I think he set the tone for the boys group on sharing where he's at with his walk in Christ, so I was very appreciative of that. And then I really wanted to thank Amy. Her lessons really ministered to me. I think God has really gifted you with natural insight and discernment. And so for me, getting to just show up and be spiritually fed and learn and grow was just a really great blessing, especially as I'm heading into another school year without you. So I appreciated that. And then the teens. I was really encouraged to be around teenagers who want to step out and openly proclaim that they are Christians, that they want to grow in their faith, especially given this culture. Eliana touched on it earlier. Feels like there's less and less Christians. So me getting to work with you guys and then getting to see you at school is just really special to me. I love how they're growing in their prayer pact. We've been working on that, praising, asking, confessing, thanks. I was just really shocked at the number of people that have grown in confession. That's one that we all struggle with, I think, because it takes a lot of humility. So seeing all of you guys stepping up and growing in confession was huge for me. And then you're also just helping me to grow in my maturity with my patience and believing the best in others and not assessing motives to people when I don't know them. and helping me grow in my conflict avoidance and learning how to not be passive aggressive, but to start taking things more in charge. So gentle discipline. I was just very thankful for how much you guys are pushing me and spurring me on in my relationship with God. So thank you all.
Thanks, Grace. My second question is, how would you describe the way you felt on the retreat? And Mariah, are you ready for your answer?
On the retreat, I felt in awe of how grand and amazing God made his creation. I felt enthralled by its beauty and the grandeur of the mountains. I felt generally accepted and cared about, and I had a great time.
And Elizabeth, you also wanted to answer this one.
So I kind of chose this as a cop-out because I wanted to talk about my favorite activity that we did, but I couldn't choose a favorite, so I chose this one to talk a little bit about all of them. So so the first thing we did on our was the stand-up paddleboarding, and Grace touched on it earlier. It was just peaceful, and you felt freedom, and just joy, and you were really energized because it was the first day, and you're. and then also on the last day was our sunset hike, and that was just so peaceful. We got to sit there and just look out on this beautiful view as the sun was setting, hearing the water and the birds, because Amy asked us to, we just sat there in quiet for 10 minutes at the very last bit. So, just, we felt so peaceful and small as well. And then, on the white water rafting, we were all, I don't know that I stopped smiling the entire time, laughing, and then you just felt the power as you tried to stick your paddle into the water and push it off of it. You just push your boat forward, and that power, that, and again, the smallness of yourself against those rapids. Just so much fun and so many different emotions.
I will say they put all the girls in one raft, so we were by far the weakest raft on the entire river. But we did get the opportunity. We had to use our bundle of rope, which he said we probably wouldn't use. We had to throw our rope to another raft and pull them out of a stuck spot. So we worked a little girl power in there, but I think it was mostly our guide Ian doing all the work for us. All right, my next question is, what is one fun or funny memory that you have from our trip? So we're going to have a few people jump on this one. Evan, why don't you get us started?
All right, so I had two. One is really short. It was just the fact that me and Amy, we were always matching our shirts.
Yes.
So, and it was never on purpose. So, like, the first day she wore, like, a pink shirt, and mine was definitely red, but Grace thinks it was pink.
It was pink!
So, and then the next day, we both wore gray, and the next day, we both wore green, and so it was really cool. Yeah. And then the second one was Lucas when he fell out of the raft. So there's this thing that they call surfing. It's where, like, there's, like, a little waterfall kind of a thing that's coming off one of the bigger rocks, and they'll paddle you right up into it, and then the front gets stuck right under the waterfall. And you just try to stay there as long as possible, and whoever gets stuck under the waterfall goes right underneath it, and the other side raises up. So me, all the boys were on the left side, and then there was another family of four on the right side. So our side got stuck under the waterfall, and one of the girls on the other side fell off, and I ended up catching her. I felt like a savior. I felt so cool. And then I ended up getting smacked in the head by Lucas's paddle, and I turned around. Lucas is no longer sitting behind me. Carter looks really shocked, and Caleb is, like, drowning his face in the water. So we get pulled out, and we end up finding Lucas further down the river. And he's got his feet up in the air, and he's only got one slide on his foot. So we ask him, "Where'd your slide go?" And he goes, "I don't know. It's gone." So we end up pulling him on the raft and getting his paddle back, and never end up finding that slide. We did end up keeping the other one, and Lucas still has it as a memory.
All right, Lee, are you ready with yours?
Okay. It's not as long as Evan's, but we'll go with that. So, oh, wait, yeah, that's this one. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so going to the showers at 12 in the morning is not a very good thing. And so we all kind of went there, and then we decided to go back to, like, listen to music when we're in there and stuff. And so we go back, and then there's, like, this black thing in the middle of the road, and we didn't know what it was. And so Ellie goes to look at it. She picks it up. Give me a second.
She's fearless.
And then she didn't know what it was, so she looked at the tag, and then we kind of realized it was somebody's underwear.
I washed my hands after.
And so we kind of all just, like, left it, like, screaming, like, oh my gosh, like, what? But that was very fun. Kind of. For me, at least. Not for Ellie, but yeah.
Lucas, you can go now.
Okay. So, during the trip, Carter had so many stupid nicknames that we gave him. So, Carter's a really big fan of The Office, and there's one guy on there whose nickname for someone is Chumbo, and so that's what we call him. And then one night we were playing Frisbee, and I wanted to annoy Carter, so I called him Omar until he just got really fed up with me and went inside the cabin. And then we also called him Cartilius for no reason at all. And he got fed up with that one too, and he went inside the cabin for that as well. But
Audrey, are you ready with yours?
So I have two as well, but I'm going to call it one because they both happened while we were rafting. The first one is, our guide, Ian, truly worked against us at some points. Like, he was great. He was the power on our boat. But there was a couple times where he saw a rock and he decided that we should hit it. So the first time, we were just coming out of a rapid and we were headed straight towards a rock. And he was, like, all forward. So we were all supposed to paddle. And all the kids looked at the adults in the boat, which is Amy and Grace specifically, just to call them out for that. And I think I'm pretty sure Grace said something along the lines of, there's a rock, but okay. And then she started paddling, so the rest of us started paddling. And we all just slammed into the rock. And to make it worse, it would have all been fine, but Grace was falling, but she fell onto Elizabeth. So Elizabeth fell out, and Grace was fine. So Grace was Elizabeth was the only one from the girls' group to fall out, and it was because of Grace. And then the second time, Ian saw a rock and decided it was the right thing for us. We were just coming out of our last rapid, but we had a lot of power from the rapid still. So he asked us if we wanted to go in between two big rocks or if we wanted to ramp over a rock to get to the other side. And, of course, the adults again said, let's ramp over the rock. And I was just wondering, which rock are we ramping over? Because the only two I see are huge and very vertical. So he's like, when I tell you, you need to all come to the back of the boat so we can get the front over and just go. And so I was like, okay, I'm already sitting basically at the back. I don't really need to move much. That's fine with me. I was just kind of going with the flow because whitewater rafting's not my favorite thing. But I was just listening to the adults because this is all the adults' fault. And so it came time, he's like, okay, get to the back of the boat, and we all got to the back of the boat, and we just went straight into this rock, and we went straight up, and we almost flipped back, which is what Ian's goal was, but just before we flipped, Ian fell out, and then all the girls started screaming, like, we lost Ian, what do we do? So they all just jumped out of the boat, and I was left in the raft, like, what are you doing? So they're like, okay, Ian's fell. We gotta follow Ian. So in the end, I was the only one left in the raft, and it was great.
All right, Leah, you wanted to talk about what activity you enjoyed the most and how it impacted you?
All right, so my favorite activity was the whitewater rafting. And so, like, getting us girls to paddle together was not very easy because we had Amy on one side and Ellie on the other side, and them two getting together took a lot of work. And then me, I would sometimes hit Audrey or Mariah's paddle, and I was just like, wait, what are we doing? But, you know, that worked out great. So, like, just getting us to, like, paddle together and, like, not going one direction or the other direction or whatever took a lot of work. But I think it impacted me to work together with other people.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to share on this one, but I'm like Elizabeth, I couldn't necessarily pick one activity because the paddleboarding, our guides that went with us let us really be playful and free. So sure, go up to that rock and climb up it and jump off. Like, she knows where it's deep enough and where it's not. So she really let us just play and explore. She was letting, I don't know if you saw in the video, she was letting the girls do headstands on their paddleboards and hop off and hop on each other's boards. And it was just a really playful day. But for me, the biggest thing was that it was supposed to thunderstorm that day. And so we were going to have to rearrange our activities, and I'm trying to be cool. It's fine. The Lord will work it out. But that also means that the books that we spent about 8 hours putting together are going to be all jumbled up because I have the lessons planned by the activity. So I was really stressing out the night before. And it was just really cool that we did get rained on, but the Lord just sent the thunder and lightning the other way. And so we were able to paddle out there in the rain, and that was a really fun experience. And then the rain broke, and it was a sunny, perfect day to hop off and swim. And it was just a really cool, it was a really cool day. It was very free, very relaxed, and just a good time for us to play together and to see God give us a gift of a day that we weren't sure we were going to end up having. And then, like everybody else, the whitewater rafting was a big highlight for me. It's kind of the whole reason we went to West Virginia. But, again, we had a really great guide, and he was patient with us, not paddling all in sync. And we got to do a lot of fun things, like swim through the rapids and jump off a 20-foot rock during our lunch break. And he even let me get up on the last rapid and sit up on the nose of the thing without my paddle and just hang onto the O-ring. And Caleb got to do that on the guys' raft, too. So it was just really cool to have these people providing this experience and this fun time for us to just play together as a group. In between, we're doing a lot of Bible study. We're working together in the kitchen. And so to just get out on the water on a hot day was just, it was a really great time for us to just play together and be together. And just really refreshing. I feel like the Lord was showing me, even in a spiritual sense, that he was refreshing me. And I, you know, we work through, people are crabby, people are tired, people are, something went wrong with the meal, and then we get out on the water, and it's just refreshing. And the Lord, I feel like he really just met my emotional needs on the trip, and that was really encouraging for me to see him be so personal. All right, so in the last section, each teen is just going to pick one Bible passage and share with you a little bit about that. So we're going to start with Psalm 29, and both Mariah and Grace would like to share about this one, so I'm going to let Mariah go first.
So I picked Psalm 29, and it's about how God's voice is powerful, and it can do anything. I picked this passage because of how powerful God is, and that makes me feel secure. I like how it said that the voice of the Lord can break trees. I could stand and just yell at a tree my whole life, and it would just stand there. God could just break it. There's no limit to what he can do.
I also picked Psalm 29. And as Mariah said, Psalm 29 is just magnifying God's power. But to me, it was cool because it's specifically looking at his power through his voice. And I personally underestimate that. So I really enjoyed that. It stuck out to me because I remember reading it on the trip. And it was a morning devo. And so I'm tired. I'm feeling bad that I'm not emotionally connecting with the beauty and the poetry of this verse, and that it's, I'm just not connecting to it. I'm not getting it. I had to reread it multiple times, so I'm feeling a little bit bad about that. But it was cool then, because on our trip we had multiple times where I was around water and I got to experience it. And one of the things that stuck out to me in Psalm 29 is the voice of the Lord is like rushing water. And so we went on a couple hikes, and one of the hikes we went to had these low waterfalls, and they had like this rock ledge in between. So you could go under the waterfall and sit there. If you saw in the video, we had a couple group photos. So while you're under there, the noise is deafening. You can't hear anything. We're trying to take a photo, and we're like, wait, where's so-and-so? And you can't hear anyone talking. It's just loud, pure, awesome noise and water. So trying to visualize that as the voice of the Lord was just a really cool way to bring that passage into a tangible experience for me. And it was really encouraging to me. It just showcased his power and awesomeness to me. And most importantly, it reminded me that he's faithful. It's not up to me to always connect with something emotionally or to just get something on the first time I read it through. He's the one that does the good works in my heart. So I was very thankful for that reminder through Psalm 29. Mm-hmm.
Another one of our passages was about the river that's seen in the end times, and it's slightly different in Ezekiel's vision during the millennial kingdom than it is during John's vision after that time period. So we kind of looked at both, and Evan and Audrey both wanted to share on this one. Evan, you want to go first? Okay.
All right, so I did Ezekiel, which is Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. In the vision, he's receiving a vision of the temple and the land that is being restored, and there is a little river flowing out of the temple that flows into a big ocean or sea, and it is a sea that has many fish, and it is growing some magnificent trees that are having a lot of fruit growing off of them. And well, first thing that it struck me was that I never even knew there was a millennial kingdom for 1,000 years, so that was really cool for me to learn. And then also the fact that it just shows that the living water. So we are supposed to be kind of like the temple, and then the water is flowing out of us. And I think that's really cool to think about, like, what we can do with our holiness, or not our holiness, but with God's holiness flowing out of us. And it's just really cool to see what we can do.
Yeah, thank you. Audrey, you ready? So I've learned about the millennial kingdom, but I always forget about it. So it is a 1,000 years period where Satan is bound, and to me that stuck out because we also learned that some people will still choose to follow Satan after he's released after 1,000 years. And to me that's just mind-blowing that, like, you'll see God more directly, but there's going to be some people that still choose sin. So Ezekiel's vision there's some differences, but there's similarities. The main difference that I saw was Ezekiel's vision had a temple in it, because God isn't like directly among us yet, but in John's vision, which is in Revelations, there is a vision. It has no temple because God is directly with us, because it's eternity, then we're out of the millennial kingdom. But the similarity is why I kind of chose this one, because the river, there's still a river in both, and it's flowing, and both provide life to plant life and everyone. But in John's vision specifically, it sustains the tree of life, which the river is solely like the Holy Spirit, which to me that was what it was the most impactful water-related example to God for me.
Thanks. Leah wanted to talk about another passage from Ezekiel where God talks about giving his people a new heart.
So you can find this in Ezekiel 36, 18 through 36. It basically just talks about like what a new heart consists of, or like how to get a new heart, or yeah, that. A new heart is, oh wait, okay, right into this. Like, okay, so clean and new, that would be the new heart. Clean, your sins are forgiven, you know that your sins, know what your sins are and ask for forgiveness. It's God's word, and to be new, you are born again by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is like in you. Mm-hmm. And that's a new heart.
Very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is cool, and it's one of the privileges we have now that Christ has come, of having his Holy Spirit inside of us. And I think that's really kind of the ended up being the main theme of it, is that when Jesus is talking about the rivers of living water, he's promising his Holy Spirit. So the passage that I picked was the theme verse from John 7:37 to 39. And Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles. And a big part of that feast is they're reenacting living in booths or tents while they wandered in the wilderness. And so that's part of God's provision for the people. And we connected that back to when they strike the rock to receive water in the wilderness. But another aspect of the feast is that the people are asking God for water at the end of a dry season. And so it says on the last and greatest day of the feast, there's this great big ceremony and the priests are crying out for water. And then at that moment, Jesus stands up and says, if anybody wants water, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. And so he's directly answering their prayer. He's proving himself to be God. He's calling himself their provision. And he's also promising them the Holy Spirit. So what I really liked about that is that you know, if they're coming to Jerusalem for this festival, they have to pay to wash, to go into the temple every day. There's probably a line, it's probably expensive, and it's a big ordeal in every sense for them to get there. So for Jesus to offer us this Holy Spirit, that anytime, anywhere, we can be cleansed from within, and we don't have to pay to use a public bath, we have this water inside of us to make us clean enough to go into God's presence. And not only to go in, but to stay in. It changes everything about this process of meeting with God. And so it's really cool, it's a generous, amazing act that he would give us access to his Spirit, and not just like, well, here's a little cup of water to wash. It's a flowing river. And it just really impressed me, because I didn't know any of the history about that festival or some of the context of when Jesus chose to make that particular statement, that just really made what he was saying much more powerful to me. And obviously, I just think it's so cool that he would be so generous to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, to have access to him anytime, anywhere, free of cost. And it was just really encouraging to me to see that he wants me to have an abundant, Spirit-filled life. And so one of our other lessons, we did talk about why sometimes Christians seem to have dry lives. We struggle with little sins that we don't let the Holy Spirit cleanse us from, and we're made for these abundant, loving, flowing lives. And it's just really cool that that's his plan for us. Thank you. We also talked about the woman at the well. We've alluded to that before, but a couple more teens would like to talk about the woman at the well. Lucas, do you want to go first?
So, in John 4:7-26, it states how a woman goes to the well, and Jesus is there and asks her for a drink, but she questions him about why he's here and why she's asking. Why he's asking her for a drink. Jesus goes on to tell her about his kingdom, and after a little bit of convincing, she realizes that that he's the Messiah, and she goes to tell everyone. And I think this is an example of how willing God is to take a chance with humanity again, for like giving us another chance to be with him, because he loves us so much. And it just, I don't know, it just shows me how that God will take a bullet for us, even though we deserve to be burning in hell right now. And yeah, it just proves how much he loves us. So
he kind of touched on it, but this social reject, she confesses her sins to everyone, and even people that hate her. Could you imagine, like, going up to someone that hates you and giving them more reason to hate you? I'm like, I don't think I could ever do that. And so that's something that I really like about this woman, is that she's brave. She's willing to say what she's done in the past, because it's her past. And she confessed her sins to Jesus, and so it was forgiven. And God doesn't care who you are or what you've done. He cares that you confess your sins, and that's why your past is called your past.
Well, that's everybody, right? I didn't miss anybody. Elizabeth, you're going to talk to us about regeneration from Titus.
I was reading, looking back at the lesson, and I realized the verse that I was thinking about was John 13, 5-14. So,
go for it.
I'm going to touch a little more on that than I have Titus. So, the John verse is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But specifically, I can't remember his name now.
Peter?
Yeah, Peter, yeah. Sorry. And how he, when Jesus got to him, he didn't want him to wash his feet. Because, you shouldn't be doing that, but you can't do that. Jesus reminded him that if you don't, if you're not, don't let me do this, then you have no part of me. And then, but the verse, I'm forgetting what I need to say. Sorry. It went on to say that if you bathe, then, and your feet get dirty, do you need to bathe fully again? And that wouldn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you just wash your feet again?
Yep.
So the metaphor was to, once you're saved for good, but you need to confess your sins every day, and that's something I need to work on, I guess. I love the parts of prayer of asking and praising him, because those are fun.
Yeah.
Those aren't the hard parts.
Yep.
But remembering that I mess up every day, mm-hmm. and he'll take those away. There's no judgment with him. Or, and he forgive you no matter what it is, as long as you confess it.
Yep.
And truly mean it.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, that's very good.
I guess that's pretty much it.
Thanks, very Elizabeth. Very good.
So now I haven't skipped anybody.
We're good.
Okay, we're good. All right. Well, it looks like I think that's it for us, and we're going to let the music team come up. Thank you again for letting us share. Mm-hmm.